I think Chief Clerk should do the prayer. Members, please indicate their presence by casting a vote. Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, may the general reflect that Representative
Mr. Majority Leader, has anyone failed to vote?
Oh.
Clerk, tally the board.
29 members present.
We do have a quorum to conduct business. Not Mr. Majority Leader. I was getting ahead of myself.
May the general reflect that Representatives Croft, Fate, Holm, Jewell, and Kapsner have previously been excused from the call of the House today.
Without objection, those members will be shown as excused from the call of the House today. Leading the invocation today is the Honorable Representative from District next to mine, 18. The members, please rise for the invocation.
With respect to the many beliefs that are represented here today, I offer this prayer. Our Father in heaven, we stand together today grateful for our many blessings, grateful for our health and strength, for our freedom, our families, and for this beautiful state that we live in. Heavenly Father, we ask thee for guidance as we work together in this body. Bless us with clear minds and with the abilities to discern and make good choices. Bless us, Father, as we all come from different backgrounds and experiences, that we will be tolerant of our differences as we each remain true to our convictions. Bless the members of this body who are ill, that their health will be returned to them. Bless the member who gave birth. We're grateful for this miracle. Father, please bless all those who may be hurting mentally or physically, that they may feel comfort from thee. Bless the men and women who are defending our country. Again, we are grateful for our blessings. We are grateful for our lives. And we ask that thy spirit be with us this day. And this is our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Representative Dahlstrom, would you please read us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Co-Chair.
I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread under general.
Without objection, that lovely prayer will be spread across the journal. My thanks to the member from District 18. Would the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 109th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal of the previous day be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
Without objection, the journal as certified will be approved. But are there guests for introduction? Silence is golden. Madam Clerk, are there messages from the governor?
Messages dated May 8th stating the governor has signed the following and transmitted the engrossed and enrolled copies to the lieutenant governor's office for permanent filing. CS for House Concurrent Resolution 7 rules, amendment to the uniform rules relating to executive session. CS for House Concurrent Resolution number 11, fish amended, Alaska Wild Salmon Week, legislative resolve number 15, and House CS for Senate Joint Resolution 12, fish, halibut bycatch utilization project. The message is dated May 9th, transmitting engrossed and enrolled copies to the lieutenant governor's office for permanent filing. House concurrent resolution number 20, suspending rules concerning Senate Bill 115, legislative resolve number 17. Senate concurrent resolution number 9, suspending rules concerning House Bill 52. And Senate Bill 83, naming the Sven Hackinson Senior Airport Chapter Number 18, SLA 2003. There are no further messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Are there messages from the other body?
A message dated May 9th stating the Senate has passed the following. It's transmitted for consideration. Senate Bill 210 by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee entitled an act regarding the computation of overtime compensation by employers before June 2nd, 1999, and providing for an effective date.
For the Labor and Commerce.
There are no further messages from the other body.
Are there communications?
There are no communications.
Reports to standing committees.
The Judiciary Committee has considered or has reviewed the qualifications of William Granger to the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair, and Representatives Holm, Garrett, Grunberg, Ogg, and Samuels. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 14, National Wheelchair Games, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 14, State Affairs, recommending do pass Seton, Grunberg, Holm, Lynn, Dahlstrom, and Wyrock. The report was signed by Wyrock Chair. House Joint Resolution 14 is on today's calendar. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 22, Patriot Act and Defending Civil Liberties, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 22, Judiciary, with the new title, recommending do pass Samuels, Holm, Guerra, Ogg, Grunberg, Anderson, and McGuire. The report was signed by McGuire Chair. House Joint Resolution 22 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 24, Alaska-Yukon Intergovernmental Relations Accord, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 24, State Affairs, attaches a fiscal note, recommending do pass Seton, Grunberg, Holm, Lynn, Dahlstrom, Berkowitz, and Wyrock. The report was signed by Wyrock Chair. House Joint Resolution 24 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 260, Immunity for Providing Free Health Care, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 260, Judiciary, with the same title, recommending do pass Holm, Guerra, Ogg, Grunberg, Samuels, and McGuire. The report was signed by McGuire Chair. House Bill 260 has no further referral. The Rules Committee has considered House Bill 271, Passenger Vehicle Rental Tax, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 271, Finance, with the new title, recommending do pass Cott, do not pass Berkowitz, no recommendation, Morgan and Coghill, amend McGuire and Rokeberg. The report was signed by Rokeberg Chair. House Bill 271 has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 288, Changing Name of Department of Community and Economic Development, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 288, State Affairs, with the new title, recommending do pass Lynn, Gatto, Dahlstrom, no recommendation, Rokeberg, amend Crawford and Guttenberg. The report was signed by Lynn, Acting Chair. House Bill 288 has a further referral to the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. The Transportation Committee has considered House Bill 301, Knick Arm Bridge and Toll Authority, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 301, Transportation, with the same title, recommending do pass Ogg, Coring, Fate, and Masick, no recommendation, Holm. The report was signed by Holm and Masick co-chairs. House Bill 301 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 305, Unemployment Compensation Benefits, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Crawford, Guttenberg, Dahlstrom, and Anderson. No recommendation, Lynn and Rokeberg. The report was signed by Anderson Chair. House Bill 305 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Rules Committee has considered Senate Bill 142, DNR-led resource development projects, recommending do pass McGuire, Cott, Morgan, Coghill, and Rokeberg. No recommend or amend Berkowitz. The report was signed by Rokeberg Chair. Senate Bill 142 has no further referral. The Resources Committee has considered Senate Bill 147, Control of Nuisance Wild Animals, recommending do pass Lynn, Gatto, Morgan, Hines, Masick, Wolf, and Fate. No recommendation, Cisna. The report was signed by Fate Chair. Senate Bill 147 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 155, Resources, Hunting Same-Day Airborne, recommending do pass Masick, Gatto, Morgan, Wolf, Lynn, Hines, and Fate. Amend Guttenberg and Cisna. The report was signed by Fate Chair. CSSB 155 Resources has a further referral to the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. There are no further standing committee reports.
Are the reports special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Are there citations or resolutions for introduction?
Citation honoring Haida Berg Boys' claim against state basketball team by Representative Kukesh. There are no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Are there bills for introduction?
House Bill 316 by Representative Coghill entitled An Act Relating to the Construction of Certain Statutes Relating to Children, Relating to the Scope of Duty and Standard of Care for Persons Who Provide Services to Certain Children and Families, and Providing for an Effective Date.
Refer to the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee and Labor and Commerce.
House Bill 317 by Representative Coghill entitled An Act Requiring Certain Businesses to Recognize Postmark Date as the Date of Payment.
Referred to Labor and Commerce and State Affairs.
There are no further bills for introduction.
That brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 210. By Representatives Coghill, Stoltz, Holm, Whitaker, and Lynn, entitled An Act Relating to the Chitna Dip Net Fishery and Providing for an Effective Date. The Resources Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 210 Resources with the same title, attached to fiscal note and a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Lynn, Gatto, Masick, Wolf, and Fate. Amend Morgan, Curtula, and Guttenberg. The report was signed by Fate Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 210 Resources with the same title, attached to fiscal note, recommending do pass Meyer, Hawker, Stoltz, Whitaker, and Williams. Do not pass Foster and Moses. No recommendation, Chenault and Harris. The report was signed by Harris and Williams, co-chairs. There's one committee substitute.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Resources Committee Substitute for House Bill 210 be considered be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection. Bill before us. Are there amendments, Madam Clerk?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 210 Resources be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
I would ask members to retain their packet for Monday's calendar on House Bill 210 as there was an objection. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 232 by Representative Seaton entitled An Act Relating to Mercury Classics and Providing for an Effective Date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, attached to zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Lynn, Gatto, Crawford, Guttenberg, Dahlstrom, and Rokeberg and Anderson. The report was signed by Anderson, Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass Meyer, Hawker, Stoltz, Moses, Chenault, Whitaker, Foster, Harris. The report was signed by Harris, co-chair. There's no amendment.
In that case, Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 232 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're in third reading. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the third and last time?
House Bill 232, entitled An Act Relating to Mercury Classics and Providing for an Effective Date.
Under debate, Representative Hines. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 232 would allow the establishment of the Homer Mercury Classic, which would be operated by the Homer chapter of the Kenai Peninsula Boys and Girls Club. They have been participating for a while with the GLOBE project, which is the Global Learning and Observation to Benefit the Environment project, and they have a computerized weather station which they work with on top of the building. And this classic would be operated biennially, and a guessing would be for the first time in the fall on the hour when the temperature drops to 15 degrees, and then in the spring there would be the other contest when the first hour in which the temperature rises to 55 degrees. There's about 300 kids that have been participating in this project. It's running conjunction with the National Aeronautics and Space Administration and other educational organizations around the country and the world, and I would appreciate your support.
Is there further debate? Question before the House, the passage of House Bill 232. Members may proceed to vote. The clerk will now lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Madam Clerk.
34 yeas, 0 nays.
And so unanimously, the House has passed House Bill 232. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of House Bill 232 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date.
Without objection, the roll call vote and the passage of the bill will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause, thus adopting the effective date clause. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's calendar?
CS for House Bill 154, Finance, entitled An Act Relating to Advancement in Public Schools of Children Under School Age and Providing for an Effective Date for the Act of July 1, 2004. It's in third reading.
Under debate, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 154 clarifies the statutes on funding for non-school-age children in this state, and what we're talking about here are four-year-olds. Currently, the statutes do allow for early entry into the schools by students that, with the discretion of the school district, each individual school district, and if that child is mentally, physically, and emotionally prepared to enter school, they can opt to allow a four-year-old go to school. This was aimed at education for exceptional child, so the intent was for this to be a rare occurrence. However, some districts in the state have decided that it was a way to get more funding if they had more four-year-olds, because that would bring up their counts. So what some of them have done is that they have every four-year-old in their district goes to school, and they have a kindergarten class of four-year-olds. Unfortunately, what that has led to is the intention of the statutes and the legislature that put this into place was for those four-year-olds to advance to first grade the next year. However, what some of the school systems are doing is they're having 2 years of kindergarten. And this is an equity issue, because what's happening is that some schools are getting state funds to educate a child for 13 years, and some schools are getting state funds to educate a child for only 13 years. So what this basically, what the question of equity boils down to is that last year, for instance, North Slope was the first year that they decided to put four-year-olds into their school system. So what's happening now, because we're a time of school funding is pretty precarious, a lot of school districts are looking at this. And if they do, school districts, and some of mine are thinking about this, so I know that this is something that people are thinking about, if this happens, it will cost another $60 million for the state just to fund extra four-year-olds so that they would have a kindergarten of four-year-olds, a kindergarten of five-year-olds, and then first, second, and on up. So what we're doing here is bringing that back down to what the intent of the statute is to begin with, and make sure that four-year-olds would be a rare occurrence, and only those that are exceptional would be and are ready to start school at that time would start.
Thank you, Representative Wilson. Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the joy of this body, I now have the assignment to speak on behalf of our fallen members who aren't here to speak for themselves. So. On this one, I'm speaking on behalf of our passionate member from Bethel, who has spoken very loudly against this proposal. She and her newborn baby, I think, are watching this debate. The concept behind this bill is a decent one. The bill itself is a sloppy one. It came from the governor's office, I think, without a lot of thought. It was proposed as an efficiency, but it's not an efficiency. So let me say why. Currently, we spend about $3.9 million a year educating four-year-olds. That's a good thing. Nobody says that's not a good thing. A member sitting next to me reminds me that he started school when he was four. The problem the administration pointed out is that someday in the future, so many school districts will take advantage of this program that it might cost us $60 million in the future. So they point to some inequities in the program, and what they do is just cut it. Well, that's not an efficiency to take education away from a child who is 4 years old and put nothing back in its place. It would be an efficiency to find a better way to educate four-year-olds. And that's the problem with this bill. It says we will not educate four-year-olds. It doesn't say we will educate them better or more efficiently. So I'm going to vote against this bill because I'd like to send a message to the governor's office that when efficiencies are proposed, something must be put in the place that is better, that is cheaper, that is more efficient than the thing that we're taking away, or else it's just not an efficiency. Mr. Speaker, a number of members of this body have said, well, if we're going to take this education money away, at least we should roll it into the foundation formula. At least we should roll it into education funding some other way. And I hope that the members who are pushing that, and many of us are listened to. But to take away education and not put anything back from a child who is in need of learning, and we know that by teaching children at an early age, we do better for them. We help them thrive, but by taking that opportunity away, I think we're adopting a bad policy. So I would ask the members of this body to send this one back to the drawing board and let the governor think through something that makes sense. This one doesn't make sense.
Thank you, Representative Guerra. Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, when this bill first came before us in the Education Budget Subcommittee and then later to Finance, we too were concerned about the school districts that had been taking advantage of this, and to have this go into effect immediately would put them in a precarious situation as to what they do with these four-year-olds that were going and were being counted as kindergartners. And that's why, Mr. Speaker, we changed this in the Finance Committee to have an effective date of next year, so that way there is a year for these various school districts to make the necessary adjustments. And as I said, we did include the funding for this program to continue next year. So I think this is a good compromise, and the bill should be supported. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Meyer. Representative Wilson, can you wrap up?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's important to note that this does not prevent districts from still having a four-year-old program if they wish. And also, the Department of Education has said that for the communities that receive impact aid, and the representative from Bethel, that was one of her concerns, in those communities still will receive the impact aid, and the department has said that they will not withhold impact aid from those areas. So this would leave those school districts with approximately $5,000 per student to continue these programs if they wish. And so we all know that if we have a room full of four-year-olds, that, you know, whether there's 10 of them or whether there's 20 of them, at $5,000 a student, that is still enough for them to be able to run that program if they choose to do so.
Senator Oakberg.
Mr. Speaker, I ask rhetorically, why in the Anchorage area my grandson and my grandchildren are not availed the opportunity to have this type of a program? Half the schools or more in Anchorage only have a half-day kindergarten. And we have other districts in the states that have a two-year kindergarten. That's part of the equity issue here, matter of cost, and it's something that baffles me about this gross disparity between where you live in the state and what kind of services the state's paying for.
Mr. Minority Leader.
The usual response to disparity is not to take away from those who have, but to give to those who don't. And I would suggest that if this is a good program for rural Alaska, it is probably a good program for urban Alaska. And rather than pick on rural Alaska because this program exists there, we ought to think about expanding it into urban Alaska. That way, the rules chairman's grandson could avail himself of the opportunities, or else perhaps the rules chair might want to move to Bethel.
Thank you, Mr. Minority Leader. Are you ready for the question? Question before the House is the passage of committee substitute for House Bill 154, Finance. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Clerk, tally the board.
26 yeas, 8 nays.
So the House has passed committee substitute for House Bill 154, Finance. Mr. Majority Leader.
I move the effective date.
Question before the House is the adoption of the effective date clause. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Representative Anderson. Clerk, now lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Clerk, tally the board.
34 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House unanimously has passed the effective date clause to substitute House Bill 154, Nance. Clerk, Representative Foster.
Briefly back to introductions.
Without objection, we'll move back up the calendar.
Yeah, on behalf of my good friend from Kotzebue, who's not here today, I wonder if I could introduce somebody in the Paradovich Gallery. It's Kevin Sweeney, and also his daughter, Caitlin. She's originally from Barrow. She now lives here with her mother, Tara, and her father, Kevin. She's in kindergarten. I just asked her if she was 4 years old, but she's six. She's at Harborview. She just finished the first T-ball game of her career. She's a granddaughter of the late Representative Eileen McLean. If you'll please help me welcome both of them here.
Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on the calendar?
House Joint Resolution 14 by Representatives Croft, Crawford, Kapsner, Guerra, Guttenberg, Berkowitz, Jewell, Gruenberg, and Curtula relating to urging the 2006 National Veterans Wheelchair Games be held in Anchorage, Alaska. The House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs considered the resolution attached to zero fiscal note recommending due pass Massick, Gruenberg, Wyrock, Cisna, and Lynn. The report was signed by Lynn Chair. The State Affairs Committee considered the resolution recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 14, State Affairs, recommending due pass Seaton, Gruenberg, Holm, Lynn, Dahlstrom, and Wyrock. The report was signed by Wyrock Chair. There's one Committee Substitute.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the State Affairs Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution number 14 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the State Affairs version, with Chair 14 before us. Representative Wyrock.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a good resolution, and I really urge its adoption. Communities from all over the state need to support other communities in the state when they're looking for these kind of facilities and games and these kind of opportunities. And the 2006 Veterans Wheelchair Game is a great program to support. It's a great program for Alaska to get behind, and communities like Juneau really support Anchorage's bid.
Thank you. We are still in second reading. Madam Clerk, are there amendments?
I have no amendments.
No amendments? And I know how anxious you are to talk about this. But let's get us to the point where we can. Mr. Majority Leader.
I was frantically looking for the rule so I could stand up with a point of order, but thank you, Mr. Speaker.
It's Saturday.
With that, Mr. Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 14, State Affairs, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, the Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 14, State Affairs, is in third. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the third and final time?
CS for House Joint Resolution 14, State Affairs, urging that the 2006 National Veterans Wheelchair Games be held in Anchorage, Alaska.
Representative Wyrock.
Previously said. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to speak on behalf of the bill sponsor, who is not here. He's still in the hospital. And by the way, he's doing well. And he asked us to make the following points on his behalf. That this is the largest annual wheelchair sports event in the entire world. It, as the Secretary of Veterans Affairs said, the event is a showcase for the therapeutic value of sports competition for anyone with a disability. It will draw about 1,300 to 1,500 visitors to this state. And we don't know, but we believe they'll spend millions of dollars during the week-long games. There'll be between 550 and 600 expected participants. Visitors will have a chance to travel from Anchorage all over the state There are both men's and women's games, and there'll even be a kids' day at the games, where local disabled children can interact with the wheelchair athletes and participate in some of the events. All the senators, the governor, former mayor, current mayor, incoming mayor of Anchorage, all support the games, and we hope that the members of the House do too. Thank you.
Thank you, Rep. Grunberg. Rep. Lynn.
I too would like to stand in support of this resolution. My colleague from Mountain View stole my thunder in congratulating our hospitalized colleague from District 25. I think this is just an excellent bill, and if I may read from the sponsor statement, just a couple of sentences. Alaska is proud of its veterans and those from other states. The National Veterans Wheelchair Games is an excellent way for paralyzed veterans to showcase their amazing skills and accomplishments. And I aspire all of us to might point out that at least some of these paralyzed veterans, I'm sure, are Vietnam veterans. This is a wonderful resolution, great way to support our Anchorage, but more importantly, to support our paralyzed colleagues. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Lynn. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I rise to criticize the sponsor's staff who told me I had to carry this bill, and I didn't realize it was already being dealt with, and also to criticize the sponsor for inconveniently getting sick and leaving others to carry his water. But I urge passage of the bill nonetheless.
Is there further debate? The question before the House is the passage of Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 14, State Affairs. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Does anyone wish to change your vote? Of course not. Madam Clerk.
34 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House unanimously has passed Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 14, State Affairs. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Concurrent Resolution 21 by Representatives Harris, Masick, Chenault, Foster, and Morgan relating to establishing the Alaska Energy Policy Task Force. The Finance Committee considered the resolution, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 21, Finance, with the same title attached to fiscal note, recommending do pass Hawker, Stoltz, Foster, Chenault, Moses, Harris, and Williams. The report was signed by Harris and Williams, co-chairs. There's one committee substitute.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution number 21 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Objection. We have the Finance Committee substitute before us. Madam Clerk, are there amendments?
I have no amendment.
Mr. Majority Leader. We're in final. Never mind. Under debate, Representative Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This concurrent resolution deals, of course, with a task force, another task force, but this is an important one. And I, first of all, want to give credit to my friend in the upper right-hand corner of this side, the minority leader, who actually began this process a few years ago, and it, I think it made it through this body and maybe didn't make it through the other body. But, Mr. Speaker, as you know, the state of Alaska doesn't really have a comprehensive energy policy, and we deal with these kind of things at capital budget times and others, looking at electrical energy projects and how we transport electricity in and around the state and how we deal with power cost equalization and a bunch of other issues involving electrical supplies and generation in the state. This task force will have a number of members, some of which would be appointed by you, Mr. Speaker, some by the president of the other body, a couple by the governor, Commissioner of Revenue, and somebody from the Alaska Energy Authority. But it's meant to be a nonpartisan, non-politicized body as best as we could do it, to look at all the issues that we have in the state. It begins with the rail belt, which has, of course, the majority of the people of the state of Alaska in it and the majority of the electrical users in it. And then it expands later to look at all the state, including how we can eliminate power cost equalization in the state by providing more efficient energy in those areas. And so it's going to be a very comprehensive. I envision the sunset, I believe, on this is next year, but I would like to envision this being ultimately something that we go on with. We develop an energy plan that we can proceed upon and move the state forward as we kind of look at a comprehensive way to project by project by project develop the state electrically. And that's the whole intent of this. And Again, it's a follow-up, quite frankly, on work that the minority leader did a number of years ago, and I ask for the member's support, and I think it's going to be good for us as we look to bring the state forward into the future. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Harris. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I want to thank my friend, the co-chair of Finance, for his very generous comments. He gives me far too much credit for doing far too little. Actually, a former member of this body, Mr. Lancaster from the Kenai, was a heavy lifter in that program, and the House had the foresight to see the problems and the potential of better energy use in the state. I'm happy to turn over all the files and all the research that we have. This is an opportunity for the state. There's so many great things that are happening across Alaska as far as energy independence and novelty. You know, there's wind power up in the Kotzebue region that's very important to that area. There's the potential for hydrogen that my friend, we call him Hydrogen Harry, talks about regularly. There's all kinds of great ideas and great potential, and the more we can do to streamline our energy use in the state, the more we can drive energy costs down, the more we can improve economic opportunity, the better able we are to bring jobs and profits to the people of the state. I'm a firm supporter of doing what we can to make the energy policy in this state at the cutting edge. We can really not just be not just find efficiencies, but we can show the rest of the world how to do things right. The infrastructure here is so new and so unformed that we can be right on the cutting edge, and it can be a great potential source of intellectual energy and resources that we hopefully be able to export as well. So I thank my friend, the co-chair of Finance, for his leadership in this. I'm sure that when his strong back is applied to the proposal, it will move smoothly through the other side. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Norrie. Leader, Representative Sisna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For both the sponsors of this bill and for the former efforts for this bill, way to go. Keep it up.
Representative Guttenberg.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'd like to thank the co-chair of House Finance and the minority leader for all the effort they've done on this. This is part of a dialogue that I have asked and keep asking. But what's really important about a task force like this is it starts a long-range vision for the future. It's a place we want to go. And it has a part of a public process that has everybody on board. And as we look toward doing things for economic development, for lower power costs, for meeting the needs of all of Alaskans, having a long-range vision and an understanding of the things we need to do across this really diverse state, this is the nature of how things and the basis of how things get accomplished with everything on board. If you do things in jerks and drabs and all of a sudden throw a project on the table, it's isolated and doesn't make sense. But when you start with a task force that's looking at the long range of the state's needs, you're getting someplace where people understand it's this today, it's that tomorrow, and here's where we are on the third day. And I commend the sponsor and all the co-sponsors and everybody that's done work on this and will do work in the future.
Thank you, Representative Guttenberg. Further debate? Ready for the question? The question before the House is the passage of the committee substitute for House concurrent resolution 21 Finance. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change your vote? Madam Clerk.
34 yeas, 0 nays.
And so unanimously, the House has adopted committee substitute for House concurrent resolution 21 Finance. Madam Clerk.
Senate Joint Resolution 17 by Senators Olson, Dyson, Seekins, Wagner, Lincoln, Elton, Ellis, Ben Stevens, Ogun, Cowdery, Taylor, Representative Stoltz, Dahlstrom, Wilson, Grunberg, relating to the Alaska-Yukon Intergovernmental Relations Accord, to annual legislative exchanges, and to continuing intergovernmental work on matters of joint concern and mutual interest. The State Affairs Committee considered the resolution recommending do pass Dahlstrom, Lynn, Holm, and Wyrock. The report was signed by Wyrock Chair. There are no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution 17 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we have Senate Joint Resolution 17 before us.
Senate Joint Resolution 17 relating to the Alaska-Yukon Intergovernmental Relations Accord, to annual legislative exchanges, and to continuing intergovernmental work on matters of joint concern and mutual interest.
Now under debate, Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. SJR 17 is a resolution that supports the extension of the Alaska-Yukon Intergovernmental Accord. This accord is set to expire currently on September 8th of 2003. The state of Alaska and the territory of Canada share not only a long common border, but we also share a history of resource development together. In the past, Alaska and the Yukon Territory have enjoyed mutual prosperity from our mineral exploration and our development. We co-manage important fish and game resources that transmigrate both of our boundaries. With the pending gas pipeline and other matters of potential resource use, exploration, and development, it's essential for Alaska and the Yukon Territory to continue to work cooperatively together for the use and the benefit of our bountiful resources. I was able to attend the annual legislative exchange this year. The meetings and discussions that were held reinforced the importance of continuing the Alaska-Yukon Intergovernmental Accord, and I would urge respectfully your favorable consideration of this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Dahlstrom. Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm listed as the first cross-sponsor on this bill, and I notice my District 20 colleague has a like resolution that he previously introduced. I ask unanimous consent that he be allowed to be listed as the first cross-sponsor.
No objection. Touche away. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you very much. I think that we all support this. And and everybody, when we met with the folks in the Legislative Assembly there, Representative Dahlstrom, myself, and Senator Olson, Senator Dyson, everybody on that Legislative Assembly was so grateful that we were there and so supportive of Alaska and our relationships. And so I hope that we support it. And again, my friend behind me, thank you very much.
Further debate? Ready for the question? The question before the House is the passage of Senate Joint Resolution 17. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, clock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Clerk, tally the board.
33 yeas, 0 nays.
And so again, unanimously, the House has passed Senate Joint Resolution 17. Madam Clerk, will you please read the next item on the calendar?
There are no citations today on the calendar.
In that case, Mr. Majority Leader, is there any unfinished business?
Yes, sir.
In that case, are there committee announcements? In that case, are there general announcements? Mr. Majority Leader.
I just have a brief at ease. I want to check on a committee assignment.
House stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Mr. Majority Leader, under committee announcements.
Mr. Speaker, I would ask the Rules Chairman make an announcement under committee announcements.
Mr. Representative Roeckberg.
Forgive me, I was just shopping for a new Glock. Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the Rules Committee will meet at 10:45 a.m. in the Parent Camp Room, Monday, May 12th, to take up HGR 22, the Patriot Act Resolution.
Representative Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also under committee announcements. The House Special Committee on Ways and Means will meet tomorrow at 5 p.m. To continue its discussion on House Bill 293. Thank you.
5 p.m. tomorrow, Sunday, Mother's Day. Representative Williams.
Because the House Finance has been working so hard all these weeks, we're not going to have a public hearing on any bills today or tomorrow. But on Monday at 8:30 a.m., we're going to Here, House Bill 267, Alaska Railroad Bonds. Senate Bill 71, Transportation.